heaven. Truly, we are thankful for this offering thou hast brought forth, and we dedicate it to thy service. Let it be used to the glory of thy name and of thy kingdom. Help us to reach out to the lost in the short remaining time that there is. And, O Lord, let thy blessing be upon us now, and we cheerfully give this to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, hallelujah. We are going to be going into the book of Revelation chapter 19. We're going to sing a chorus as we do this. And we're going to sing that chorus, "Oh, the blood of Jesus." Let's sing that together. It's very easy to learn if you don't know it. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's power in the blood of Jesus. I know there's power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And there's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Praise His holy name. Let's give the Lord a hand praise today. Thank God, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. All right, thank the Lord. We're going to be opening to Revelation chapter 19 this morning to begin with. And you know, the Lord did it again. You know, we sang that song, the last song that we sang, and Duane and I don't really talk between each other. We're on speaking terms, but you know what I'm saying is we don't talk about what's going to be sung or preached. I don't tell anybody that. Because I don't know myself, usually until about a half an hour before I get here. And sometimes, between walking from here to here, it gets changed on me. So, I don't know. But we sang that song with all the hallelujahs in it. Remember? I believe the true report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Four verses. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, my message today is called the fourth hallelujah. The fourth hallelujah. Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to pause for a moment to prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Dear Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer, knowing that Thou art here with us, knowing, O Lord, that truly, even though Thou didst descend into the heavens, yet, O Lord, Thou dost also walk among Thy people, even the seven golden candlesticks. Lord, I know that Thou art in Thy churches and among Thy people, and Thou art here with us today. Now, O Lord, impart to us Thy Word. Help us to receive it, O God, because the time is so short, and it will not be long until Thou wilt sever the just from the unjust, the sheep from the goats. And, O Lord, it's our prayer that all of us would be at Thy right hand. And, O Lord, guide and direct us now into Thy Word. Let Thy name be glorified. Speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to Thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. And also, Lord, that Thou wouldst drive out every devil, every unclean spirit and force of darkness that would try to hinder us. And we say unto Thee, O Lord, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Of course, the word hallelujah is pure Hebrew, and it means, hallel, of course, means praise. We know that after the Passover meal, they would always sing a song, one of the Psalms, and they called it the great hallel. Hallel, hallelujah, Yah meaning the Almighty God, the Eternal One, literally is what it means. There's only one who is eternal. Amen. And of course, the one true God manifested Himself in the flesh as Jesus Christ, still the one true Almighty God. That's why Jesus called Himself the Almighty in Revelation chapter 1. And we also know that He sent forth the Holy Ghost after He ascended into heaven, still the same God. So you have one God manifested as our Heavenly Father, as the Son of God, and as the Holy Ghost. And you notice I said, as the Son of God, not as God the Son. Because you can read your Bible cover to cover as many times as you want to, you will never find one time where it says God the Son. It's always the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the flesh of God, the manifestation of God. God was manifested in the flesh. One true God. And we know Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That shouldn't be too hard for us to understand. The Word of God tells us in Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now that tells me who Jesus is. Colossians 1:19 says that it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So, we understand who Jesus is. He is God, very God. The King of kings, the Savior, the Almighty. Now, with that thought in mind, let's begin in Revelation 19, verse 1. The fourth hallelujah is where we're going to be concentrating today. But to get there, we've got to go through the first three. And so, Revelation 19, 1 says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." Now, isn't that something? In spite of how bad this world is, and of course the devil is telling you he's going to take over. The devil's a liar. Now, he's made a lot of progress because he's had so much cooperation. You know, out there in California, starting tomorrow, they're going to start marrying queers. And they said there are long lines of people waiting. Long lines of lesbians and tooth fairies and what have you, all lined up waiting to get married. I heard an interview this morning with two women on the radio, on ABC News. Two 84-year-old women who have lived together for 50 years as lesbians are getting married tomorrow. You know, isn't that enough to make you lose your breakfast? Truly, these are the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the wildfires raging out there in Northern California, and all of these people being displaced from their homes. And then you hear the news commentators say, "What's going on in California? Floods and fires and tornadoes and earthquakes. What's going on?" Hey, I'll tell you what's going on. There's sin, and sin brings with it judgment and the penalty of Almighty God. You cannot do those things. But people are walking blind. And they have this impression of themselves that they are good people. Much like Americans have this impression that they are the good guys, those in the white hats, you know, the basically good people that lead the rest of the world. And in reality, this is the most corrupt nation currently on the face of the earth. And getting worse every day. A nation that kills millions of babies in the abortuaries. A nation that insults God constantly. A nation that is full of illuminism and witchcraft. A nation that has turned its back on God and forgotten Him entirely. Hey, no wonder there's trouble. Of course, down in Iowa, They might as well just declare the whole state a disaster area. There's only about four counties that aren't. And of course, they're calling Cedar Rapids the city that was. Because the whole thing is washed out. And the water is up to the roofs of the, up to the awnings and the storefronts. And it's coming, and more is moving downstream. Now, what is happening here? I think we know, and I think the rest of the world is in denial. They do not want to admit that God is speaking from heaven. Our entire nation is in trouble. Every time we look around, we see that conditions are exactly as Jesus said they would be. Now remember, you know, when you go and put gas in your car and pay that $4 plus a gallon or thereabouts, remember the current high prices. And by the way, I heard on the radio that the other day when it went down 2 or 3 cents, people thought they were getting a deal. Huh? Isn't it strange? But remember, the current prices are based on when crude oil was $90 a barrel. That's the current prices, based on referencing back to when it was 90. Now it's nearing 140. I don't know if it's hit that yet, but very close. So what's that going to do when that catches up? There's a little bit of a delay in there with the processing, the refining and fractional distillation and so forth until the pump at the price of the pump rather catches up with you. Right now, the way oil prices are, you will be paying $7 a gallon without question. That's a certainty. And from there it goes up. And of course, the King Abdullah was very fond of kissing our president on the lips. I got a picture of it. But anyway, he said that crude oil will go up to $200 a barrel. That puts our price at nearly $12 a gallon at the pump. How long can a country sustain that kind of a price? With a transportation system being crippled, of course, God's sending floods, and God does send them. Some people tell me, oh, God would never do that. God is nothing but good. God is good. God is righteous. But God is also a God of judgment upon people who refuse to repent, who will not do it, who will persist in sin constantly. We will know our God in salvation, in the glories and wonders of His mercy and grace, or we will know Him in the depth of His almighty judgment. Lately, the people in Washington, in government, the senators, those in the House of Representatives, all of these people and the cabinet members and all the other people who are anything have been going through drills, practice runs. They've been flying them by helicopter from Washington, D.C., into those secret bunkers underground in the hills in Virginia. I don't know if you'd heard about that. They've been flying them over there, whisking them off, their families, their children, everybody, off into there and get them underground. Have you ever read in the book of Revelation chapter, you can read it beginning in chapter 6, for an example, where God says that they would run into the caves and the rocks and the dens of the earth and say, hide us from the wrath of Him that sitteth on the white horse. You see, it's all happening, isn't it? They're going underground in practice drills. They know something is up. They know something is coming. And Barack Obama will not fix it. You talk about throwing gasoline on the fire. That man is, you know, if he doesn't pick Hillary Clinton for vice president, he'd probably stick her on the Supreme Court. How bad can it get? I don't know. But a whole lot worse than now. You know, the country is literally coming apart at the seams. Literally falling apart. Now, I know I'm so full of good news today, huh? You know, we have to face reality. People are being subjected to the powers of Antichrist already. And we know that great tribulation is now, but great tribulation is forthcoming as all of this crescendos forth and finally culminates with the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be reading about that in a few minutes. But thank God we who are the children of God can still say hallelujah. And it is mentioned four times in the first part of this chapter. Let's look at it. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. You know, my parrot was worshiping this morning. I get out my Bible. He doesn't even know it because I'm in a different room. As soon as I open the pages of my Bible, he starts in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And he keeps going. That tells me I'm on the right track. That bird is spiritual. I don't hear a lot of people saying that. And I don't hear him saying it that much. Well, I'll tell you what. It's an inspiration to see that little bird with the gray feathers sitting there looking out the window praising the Lord. Amen. Well, verse 2 says, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore. By the way, that judgment is coming. Who is the great whore? A lot of people are afraid to say so because they think the Roman Catholic Church is Christian. It's anything but Christian. For one thing, it's junior masonry. You know, they say the Catholics are opposed to the Masons, and that's why they formed the Knights of Columbus for rivalry and so forth. It's all mixed together. The same people at the top run the whole show. You know, the Pope Paul I was very anti-Mason himself. And so they assassinated him on the 33rd day that he was Pope. So then Paul II came in. He's the one who stamped his foot three times at the UN and said, so mote it be, when he finished the meeting. You pull the anti-Mason out, put the pro-Mason in. He still wears the funny hat, as Catholic as you can get. But no, all of that stuff is all interwoven. But there are a lot of people who are afraid to understand that there is a church which has daughters, a false church, from which proceeded many other churches, a mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, and that this woman, according to Revelation 17, sits upon seven hills. Rome is built on seven hills on the right side of the Tiber River. It's a geographical fact. There is a city which rules over the kings of the earth and rules the people right out from under them. And it is a fact that the Vatican does that. The word Vatican means witchcraft. It means divination. It means to speak false prophecy. That's the definition of the word. The word Vatican is taken from the Latin word Vaticanus. Vaticanus is classical Latin meaning divination. What it literally means, the etymology of the word, if you look at it, the word Vatic or Vedic, as it would be pronounced, means to speak prophetically. And take the rest of the word is literally anus, which means to speak from the posterior. And then when you stop and think, now think about that. I don't hope I'm not embarrassing anybody. That's the meaning of the word. But when you think about that, does not the Bible say, the prophet that speaketh lies, he is the tail? Come on. And they have, the Vatican has built a new building not far from the Villa de Malta, in the Vatican City, that is dedicated to the unification of Islam with Catholicism. And they're talking all the time trying to put this all together. And you can turn on CNN if you want to, or your radio or whatever, and you'll hear them talking all the time about Barack Obama is not a Muslim. He is not positively false. He is not a Muslim. I got a picture of him with a Muslim clothes on from 2 years ago. He is a Muslim. They're always going to tell you the opposite of truth. Always. They're going to, well, it's like Robert Welch said one time, and he was a Mason himself, but he said, regarding the communists, he said the communists play both sides of every street. Well, so do the Masons, and so do all these other conspirators. Play both ends against the middle, Hegelian dialectic, you know, control everything at the top and make it look like there's competition. And by the way, one of the greatest spokespersons for the Vatican, Tim Russert, died on Friday the 13th. But he was Jesuit-trained spokesman for the Vatican. Now, why is this so important? And, you know, what's going on here? You're looking at a religion that has a billion people in it, Roman Catholicism. Another religion that has a billion people in it, Islam. And the two of them combined, and really, who's the enemy here? Who are the true enemies? The very Israel of God, the true Christians, those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And where is all of this going to take place and come together? There's going to be a final battle at Armageddon in Israel. That is where it's all going to blow up. And our Lord is going to return. I'm watching this thing all come together quickly now. It's moving so fast. But you see, it's the devil's business to distract us, to get our attention away from it, to forget about it. It's a world full of many devices. You know, it's kind of interesting too, because people will forget all about God and they'll spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours staring at the idiot lantern. And you know, there's so much garbage comes over that thing. I'm telling you, it isn't worth it. But recently it's been discovered that one thing about the televisions is that they are full of a chemical called flame. There's numerous ones in it, but they're flame retardants. They spray everything in there with flame retardants in case there's a fire, short circuit, whatever. And now it's said that the new ones, these digital TVs that are coming out, and you have to buy this little box or else throw it away and get a new one. I don't know when that comes out, February or somewhere in there next year. They have more than double the flame retardants in there. And if you've ever walked over to a screen and saw it all full of dust, that's what it is. It's the flame retardant collects on the front of the screen, and it is toxic. And in testing numerous people, they found that it's in their blood. So they're going to be dosing people again with these new devices. They don't miss a trick, do they? They spray our air, they poison our water, they put flame retardants in everything. They want you cooking with Teflon so you get your polytetrafluoroethane free fluoride radicals in your body. They're out to reduce this population down to what they call manageable levels. No wonder we can look at all of this and understand that the Lord is coming. He's going to judge all this. We can say, hallelujah! Amen. You know, I've talked to people who said, I don't like to hear those things. I don't want to know those things. I was talking to some people one time, and one man in particular, and telling him some of this, he said, I don't go that deep. That deep? You don't even scratch the surface. You don't make a wave. I think it's time for us, as Jesus said, to dig down deep and find out what's going on here. And so all these people in heaven are saying, hallelujah. Why? Because of the salvation, the glory, the honor, the power. And all unto the Lord our God. And you know, when they call upon Him in thankfulness and say hallelujah, because He's judged the great whore, It's because, it says, that whore did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. The Lord will bring all of that vengeance upon the earth. In fact, what did the Lord say he would do? Now, before I tell you, I want you to understand something. Referencing back to not that long ago, I don't have the exact date, but it's not long ago, we find that the price of our oil has doubled. The price of grain, except for corn, doubled by this spring. Now, they say the corn price has doubled. Have you ever read in Revelation chapter 18, double unto her double? The Lord is bringing double wrath, double judgment. Do you know how much snow we would have if this rain would have been snow? In our area alone, over 14 feet. How would you like a winter like that? Do you think the last one was something? You know, I don't know what God's all going to do, but I know He is doubling His wrath against the great harlot. He will always help His people. God had the people of Israel in the land of Goshen. They had light in their dwellings while the rest of the world was in darkness. All of Egypt was dark, with a darkness so dark you could feel it. That is coming again, folks. Now, thank God, He's judged the great whore. And I'll tell you that. Now let me qualify something here. When I say the great whore, I'm talking about the one that rides upon the beast. Some people say the United States is Mystery Babylon. That's part of it. But see, that's the problem. There's some people who say, well, with this conspiracy, you know, it's all Jewish conspiracy. You know, it's strictly Jewish. No, it isn't. Some say it's strictly Catholic. No, it isn't. Some say it's strictly Masons. No, it isn't. They're all integral parts of this. There is an illuministic element in all of these different areas and groups. And so you cannot segregate out one segment and say, there it is, because you're going to miss all the rest of it. Now, there is a beast with 10 horns, a scarlet-colored beast. This is the governmental structure of the world, which has been divided into 10 segments by one Dr. Aurelio Pache of the Club of Rome. This happened back in the early 70s. They even published a book called Rio, R-I-O, Reshaping the International Order. They divided the world 10 ways. Strangely enough, they took Australia, which is its own country and its own continent, and they grouped the state of Israel with Australia as an experiment. And the things going up, by the way, the Australian dollar is almost par with our dollar now, 96 cents, which means our dollar is worth that much less. See, it has that effect. Our dollar is moving back, putting other currencies forward. But this is the beast the Bible talks about, that scarlet-colored beast, is the world divided 10 ways, 10 horns. On the back of the beast rides a woman. This is the false religious system, which is piloted by Roman Catholicism, but incorporates many other religions, eventually a one-world church. No more arguing doctrine, right? See? And I'm going to tell you what else will happen. They're going to point to all these religions and saying, guess what, folks? You have all been worshiping Lucifer all the time under different names, different guises, with different kinds of rituals that you did, and all of this Latin stuff, and all, you were all worshiping Lucifer anyway. And they're going to pull back the shroud, they're going to pull back the curtain and say, here it is, the pure doctrine of Lucifer. Go ahead and have your Catholicism, Lutheranism, Methodism, Islam, all that. The one behind it all is Lucifer, Satan. The big double cross. Because really, there are only two churches in this world. There's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's everything else. And it's all varied and different, and yet has one common thread moving through it all, and that is the doctrine of Lucifer or Satan. And isn't that exactly what Albert Pike wrote to Giuseppe Mazzini? Both of them Freemasons, Illuminists. He said, "We will unleash the nihilists and the atheists." That's a famous quote of his. This letter is cataloged at Wittenberg Square Library in Philadelphia. You can go see it. They might even let you in to look at it. I don't know. I think that they do it under guard. But basically, he said that the last final social cataclysm will be between Islam and United Christendom. That both sides will be destroyed. And of course, what is the point of contention? The state of Israel. That seems to be the big, and of course, that's where Armageddon takes place. But the contention is between what they call United Christendom and Islam. We're not either one of that. We don't have anything to do with any of that. We don't believe in joining anything or being a part of that. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." God calls His people out. We are the elect, called, chosen people of God. Peter made that clear. "For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Come on. We are not a part of any of that. But you see, all of that happening now, all of it coming together, the whore riding on the beast, and I'll tell you what, as soon as they're through with false Christianity, they're going to destroy it. Roman Catholicism, "The beast shall hate the whore and burn her with fire." These are the days we're living in. What I'm telling you this morning is happening right now before your very eyes. I'm just here to help you to understand it, to encourage you to read your Bible. Pray for wisdom. Pray for discernment. Most people don't give it a thought, but great and powerful and mighty judgment is coming upon it all very, very soon. But as the whore is judged, it's kind of interesting too, because we came to town here. When I came to town, there were three thriving, large Catholic churches. There was a Masonic lodge. They had a lot of members. They even had their pet goat, the poor thing. That goat was the only one in there with any intelligence at all. But they had a pet goat that they put they covered the back with this kind of a hanging with a compass and square on it. That was Baphomet, the goat of Mendez. That was the mascot of the lodge. I've got pictures of it. All kinds of Masons. I came in here and I prayed, "Lord, there is no room in this city for Last Trumpet Ministries and the Masonic Lodge. One of us is going to go." I just felt real feisty and I was praying. It wasn't long and they closed up the lodge building. And the Masons dwindled. They started trying to get young men in there, and they were fizzling out. So the few that were left had to go down to Madison, down in Wisconsin Avenue there, or street, whatever, the big temple down there. Occasionally they would meet at the motel, but the lodge fizzled out. And then they sold it to a witchcraft shop, Celestial Sense, which is right down there on the corner. And then they came along and said, "I prayed about that. Lord, take that. That's got to go." And so I heard on the radio that, and this is several months ago already, that the DNR condemned the building because the supports, it's right on the river, supports are starting to weaken, and the law says that you can't put more than 10 or 12% into repairs to fix it, and that wouldn't cover it. So they said it has to be demolished. So I called Celestial Sense. I didn't tell them who I was, didn't think I needed to. And I said, are you going out of business or just moving? They said, no, we've had it. We're packing up and closing up for good. Answer a prayer. There goes another witchcraft shop. Then, in addition to that, we got this big flood coming in. And now one of those buildings is tipping backwards. They're going to have to speed that up before it falls into the river and creates a new dam. The place is literally crumbling and falling apart. Does God answer prayer or what? Then, regarding the Catholic system, I've been praying for years about that. All of a sudden, St. Michael's closes down. Then St. Patrick's closes down. Then you have a big influx of Hispanics, and they came in and took over St. Peter's and renamed it St. Catherine Drexel. And I talked to some of the Catholic people that go there. They said, we don't go there anymore. We go out of town. We can't stand the Hispanics. The whole thing is in turmoil. Two out of three churches gone, another one fizzling out. What's happening here? Well, the great harlot is being judged. The archdiocese that are going bank filing for bankruptcy and all of the things going on in that system. Oh yes, the beast shall hate the whore and burn her with fire. This is all predicted, prophesied in the Word of God. These are amazing times as this is all being fulfilled as we watch. But didn't Jesus say watch and pray? We're in a battle here. It's tough going sometimes. Our faith is challenged. Sometimes we fight infirmities and sicknesses and difficulties of every kind. Not knowing what's next or what tomorrow will hold, but we know the one who holds tomorrow. And so we proceed by faith and we push forward to our last breath, knowing that God has called us to battle. Amen. You know, if I was a quitter, I'd be gone such a long time ago already. But I never had that in me to quit anything that God has given me to do. And so we push forward. No matter who says what or what happens or what comes our way, we move forward because it's all we can do. We must be obedient to the gospel call because the angel has gone through and declared, one more time, the everlasting gospel must be preached. Somebody has to point out what's wrong and what's right and what the remedy is. And don't ever be discouraged if people don't listen to you. As long as you're crying out, even if you are one person, then the gospel lives. It's still being spoken. That thought lives. The blood of Jesus is effective because wherever the word is, there and wherever the name of Jesus is, there will be the power of His blood. And so this harlot, this whore, corrupted the earth with her fornication. But God hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. Can you think of any church that through the ages shed a lot of blood? How about the Inquisitions? How about all those thousands and thousands, literally millions of people that were killed by the order of the Pope, the cardinals, and the bishops of Rome? Is that to be forgotten? And by the way, if you read your Bible, you will find that in the harlot is found all the blood of the saints. Therefore, I can tell you that any church, any organization that claims to be a church, if they've ever shed one drop of blood, they are disqualified from being the church. Did you ever stop to think about that? And that takes a whole lot of them out of the picture. And verse 3 says, and again they said, hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. The pronouncement of eternal damnation and destruction brings forth another hallelujah. Now it says in verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, means so be it, hallelujah, praise ye Yah. So we have another hallelujah here from the 24 elders, which is the worshiping, governing 24 around the throne of God. Of course, God's in charge of all things. And then, of course, the four beasts, which are the archangels of God. Beast here doesn't refer to the animal kingdom particularly, but because these archangels have four faces. Remember? Did you ever read that in Ezekiel? The face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox. Do you ever stop to think there are four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew presents Jesus as the king, represented by the lion. Mark presents Jesus as the servant, represented by the ox. Luke presents the man Christ Jesus, represented by the face of the man. And John presents him as the living God, the face of the eagle. And you'll notice in Matthew, the genealogy takes you back to the royalty of King David and so forth, and Abraham. You go into Mark, there's no genealogy at the beginning of the book. Servants didn't have a genealogy. Go to Luke, it takes you all the way back to Adam, to the man, Adam. You go on over to John, and there is a very short genealogy. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That Jesus is God, that's a genealogy. So all of it fits together perfectly, like a hand in a glove. And here are these four beasts saying, Hallelujah! These four archangels of God. See, angels don't look like the pictures they show you. You know, the long flowing robe and the hair that's set perfectly like they just came out of a beauty saloon. If you saw one of these angels, you would do what they did back in the days of the Bible when they fell down as dead men. The seraphim have one face and six wings. The cherubim have four faces and four wings. Satan was one of the cherubim, guardian of the throne of God. Satan, initially, as Lucifer, had four wings and four faces and was created with music in his being. Can you see what he's done in this world? Is any of his music playing? Oh, read it in Ezekiel 28, tell you all about it. Verse 5 says, And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah. There's the fourth one. That's the one we're concentrating on. Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Never forget it. The Almighty is in charge, and He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. As Abraham was told, as Sarah was told, and as all of his people came to know the truth of, that he is omnipotent and he reigneth. You know, the Illuminati doesn't stand a chance. Come on. Can you imagine the interruption that's coming upon this earth? You know why we're seeing the flooding in all through the Midwest? Do you know why there's a record number of tornadoes? They keep talking about historical numbers, meaning it's unprecedented in history. It's never been like this. You're hearing it on the news all the time. Historical flooding, historical tornadoes. The earth is shaking. Another big quake over in Japan. 7.4 with 7.1 aftershocks. But see, you're not hearing much about that, are you? You know why? Because you're hearing about Obama and what Hillary might do next and McCain. And they asked McCain, the son of Cain, they said, what about bringing home when will the troops come home if you're president? He answered and said, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter when they come home. It doesn't matter. You know what? You know why he said that? He said that because there's a script that has been written. And they're going to try and follow that script. Only God can edit that script. They've got a plan for you. They've got a plan for this country. They've got a plan for the world. There are people in powerful positions working on that all the time. Down there at that university in northern Illinois, they've got a big building, like a field house. And in the floor of the building is a map of the world, and it lights up. And these Illuminists gather together for conventions, for meetings there. Think tanks, sometimes they call it. And they light up that thing, and they walk across one nation with their feet, stepping on the nations, one after another. Okay, now we'll go in here, and we'll bring this one against this one. And they'll talk, what do you think will be the repercussions? And they get all these super intelligent people, of course, Satan guiding them, and they walk across this big map of the world down there at that university. The floor is all one big world map. And they make their plans, stepping on the nations. No wonder when Clinton became president that time, for his chief advisor, he picked a man named George Stephanopoulos, or Stephanopoulos. Come on. Some of these names are amazing. But anyway, thank God that He is omnipotent and that He loves us and He will preserve us, and He gave us many great and exceeding precious promises, as the Apostle Peter said. And so it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. You say, but God, I'm paying $4 a gallon. You know, we could have worse problems than that. I'm breathing poisoned air. I'm eating poisoned food. I'm drinking poisoned water. The Lord said that in the last days, the people would die in a polluted land. But God will give us safeguards and wisdom as far as what to do. You know, I saw this publication recently, a Farmer's Magazine, and it showed the difference in the soil. And I've got this on my presentation I'm going to do, the PowerPoint projector. I've got the statistics on it, how the minerals have been depleted down, in some cases over 60% less nutrients in the soil, and all of the vital minerals and so forth are not there anymore. How are you going to grow crops that have any value to them if the minerals aren't there to go in, be drawn up into the crops? And so the food is so void of nutrients today, how in the world is your body going to survive without some kind of natural supplements? You can't, it doesn't produce anymore. The original elements are no longer there. It's junk soil. You know, back in the old days, God brought floods every year. Like in Egypt, the Nile overflowed its banks. Once a year, the Jordan overflowed all of its banks. What was it doing? Depositing new soil. And the floods would recede and they'd plant and it'd be fertile and everything would be wonderful. Floods back then were looked at as a blessing. Now, we've herded people into cities, which are nothing more than concentration camps without fences, yet. And people get into the cities and they feel secure there. Oh, I live in New York or Boston or Milwaukee. I wouldn't go into Milwaukee without a half track. Maybe on the outskirts, but not downtown. They drive by and they're popping people off for fun. A lot of things have changed. But people gather together in big cities. The more the better. They get conglomerated there together. And then they drink that nice chlorinated water. You know, lately I've been talking to an awful lot of fluoridated people. They can't hold a thought for anything. I went up to the water plant here because I wanted to ask him a few questions. And he told me, he said, you know, Beaver Dam has an aquifer under it. of the purest water that could possibly be found. It's 560 feet down. And the water was tested. It is absolutely pure and void of any contaminants whatsoever. And I said, well, that's great. What do? He said, well, we pump it up here. We put slaked lime in it, fluorostatic acid, and chlorine, just to make sure. You know, I think, should I put it bluntly, people have gone spiritually nuts. They can't think anymore. And when you tell them truth, it's foreign to them. Huh? Where did you come from? If you make sense to them, even a little bit, they look for the off switch. Because if what you're saying is true, everything they're doing is wrong. Doesn't the Bible tell us the whole world lieth in wickedness? Isn't that a firm declaration of Scripture? Oh, yes. Well, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Verse 7. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. It's incumbent upon the Church of Jesus Christ to get ready. Learn to pray. Draw close to God. Call upon Him. There's no other hope anywhere. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. How can that be? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. We have the righteousness of the Lord dwelling within. All of our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, of course, the Lord's getting us ready right now. In fact, how does the bride make herself ready? By attending the continual marriage suppers of the Lamb. Every time we get together and hear the gospel, we're at that table of God. Jesus said, come and dine, didn't he? And we hear the word of God. He said, this is the bread of life. We're getting ready for that great, glad, and glorious day. Schofield says, everybody's going to disappear. See, that's the problem. See, people say, why should I be concerned about anything? Because I'm going to get zapped out of here. I'm just kind of hanging around here. And of course, you know what they teach. All you have to do to be saved is raise your hand. Right? There, hand saved. Now that you're saved, you can't do anything to be lost. Taking all the responsibility away. See, I believe God's elect will be there. Nothing can change that. But there are a whole lot of people making believe they're God's elect by raising their hand and then thinking they can go out and do anything they want to do. And then, not bearing the responsibility of the truth and of the gospel, they feel like they'll just be zapped out of here in a secret rapture anyway and be escorted to a table where they will eat something for 7 years while the world is in tribulation. But they're up there at this big table pigging out. You see how Schofield twisted all of that stuff around? You know, I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord, really. It's awesome. When I think about it, sometimes I tremble, but I'll be glad when it comes because I'm tired of this. Amen. I've about had it, to be honest with you. But we continue on and occupy until He comes. We have a lot of work to do, a lot of noise to make, a lot of dust to stir up. Isn't it great? Praise the Lord. And so, these are the true sayings of God. Verse 10 says, and I fell at His feet and worshipped Him, and He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you see what's happening here? John thought he was talking to an angel. And he bowed down to worship. Of course, we're not supposed to worship angels anyway. But he was so awestricken by this. And that being that was there said, "Don't worship me. I'm one of you. I'm one of your fellow servants, the prophets." It doesn't tell us which one he was. Do you realize that when you leave this earth, Jesus said you are as the angels? You don't wear this body anymore. But you are as the angels of God. People that, loved ones that you have, they've gone on to be with the Lord. They are as the angels of God. Will we know them? Yes, ye shall know as we shall know as we are known. But we are recognized in the Spirit by the power and revelation of Jesus Christ. As far as physical appearance, you won't be physical, you will be as the angels. And that's good. One pastor said one time, you know, he said, "I didn't know what to say." This woman called and she said, "My grandson is dead, 7 years old, leukemia." And she said, "I know God heals, but can you tell me something to make me feel better? I just need something from the Lord." So he put the phone down and said, "Lord, what do I tell her?" And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You tell her that God heals all of His people." And she told her that, and it was then if the revelation came to her. And by the way, what is revelation? Revelation is when you shed light on truth that was always there already. People say, "I got a new revelation, new truth, new..." No. The only true revelation is when light is shined upon what was already there. It's like when you walk into your bedroom, the light out, you could easily stumble on something, couldn't you? You kind of know where the dresser is. You kind of know where the bed is. But then you turn the light on. The light shows you where it all is. Now you can see it. Not just go by feeling. Revelation is when... And that bed was already there, wasn't it? The dresser was already there. Now the light comes on to where it is. That's what revelation is. It's not some new thing that only you know. Like Joseph Smith of the Mormons, you know. But what that means, God heals all of His people. When you get to that point, if you leave this body, your body stops breathing. Hey, you're healed. Come on. You're healed. Now you're as the angels. Now there's no more fighting the pulmonary problem or the circulation problem or the kidney problem or the liver problem or the stomach problem, whatever it was. We're only here for a little while and we're all going to check out. Someday, God heals all of His people. And the last great work of healing. See somebody laying in that bed, they're sick, they're just so bad shape, that it's their time to go. Hey, when they leave, they're healed. God is not a liar. He is the great healer. All right? Now, these are the true sayings of God. And so then we go down to verse 11. "And I saw heaven open." Hey, it's coming. "Heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." You know what Scofield says? Go back to the beginning of Revelation there. Scofield says that the white horse is the Antichrist. The white horse is the gospel going forth. Come on. But the one on it has arrows. Has a bow. Have you never read in the book of the Psalms about the arrows of God? That is the gospel going forth. What follows the gospel? The red horse of violence because of resistance to the gospel. I don't have time to teach on all the horses right now, but I will give you something to think about. The Bible talks about a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale green horse. Green in there is from the Greek chloros, like a chlorine, pale, sickly green. So white, red, black, and green. Have you ever looked, look up in your encyclopedia, all the flags of the Islamic nations. What are their colors? Those are the four colors that they use on their flags. Not all of them have all four, but those four are on all of those flags incorporate somehow a combination of those colors. And those four are the ones used in Islam. And here it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now God's not the author of confusion. A white horse is a white horse, and it belongs to the Savior. All right? "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." All of this is under that fourth hallelujah. Come on. "The Omnipotent One reigneth." What is that sword out of his mouth? His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When the Lord comes back to this ungodly, sin-infested, iniquitous world and begins to speak, it's going to cut everything to ribbons. How much of this world is a scam, is a lie, is false? And the Savior comes with truth as a sword that cuts coming and going. You know, I can't even imagine the interruption in Washington, in London, in Rome, in all the big cities, in all the world, in all the nations, the United Nations. When he finds the entire world guilty as charged, based on the written and living word. Well, that's going to be quite a day, isn't it? His eyes as a flame of fire. But you know what? It says in verse 13, "He was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And the only way you can know the Word of God is by revelation. No man can know his name but by revelation. You can say Jesus, which means Savior, from Yahshua, from the Hebrew. You can say Jesus, but is He your Savior? Is He truly dwelling within? Are you filled with His Spirit, the Holy Ghost? I had a call from yesterday from some people in Washington, and I baptized a man out there who's almost 90 years old. And he wanted to talk to me. He said, "Pastor," he said, "you baptized me," and he said, "I'm so thankful and everything." He said, "and I had hoped," he said, "that the Lord would have filled me with the Holy Ghost right when you baptized me." He said, "but I know He's going to do it." And he said, "and so I'm waiting for Him in His time, and I'm calling upon Him that He'll fill me with the Holy Ghost." Isn't that the attitude we should all have? It was so refreshing to hear from this man. This man was stationed on the USS Arizona and got off right before Pearl Harbor was attacked. He was an electrician on the ship and a wonderful man. And he's waiting upon the Lord to fill him with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? God's going to do it too. Amen! That's the way it ought to be. And so here you have Jesus, his vesture dipped in blood. It makes me remember and think of the time he was walking along, having come back from the land of the Gadarenes, and a woman was trying to find him because everybody was crowding around him, and this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she'd been to all the doctors, and they took all of her money. Hey, it almost sounds reminiscent of today. And she didn't get better, she got worse. Boy, there's a scenario for you. She's seen all the doctors, spent all her money, and got worse. She heard Jesus was coming, and so she pressed through the crowd. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she made her way through, and she reached out and she got a hold of that garment, that vesture, and grabbed onto it and held on and touched it. And Jesus immediately stopped and said, who touched me? And his disciples said, well, all the people are bumping against you and crowding you. What do you mean, who touched you? He said, somebody touched me because I felt virtue go out of me. And the woman came up trembling. She said, it was me. I did it. And she told him why, and he said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. She was instantly healed by the touch of the garment. Virtue, he said, flowed out of him. You know, in Greek, that word virtue is the same word as power. And that word is dunamos, from which you get the word dynamic, dynamite, dynamo. I felt dynamite flow out of me. Dynamic power flowed out of me. Jesus said, dunamos flowed out of me. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched him in faith. Somebody touched him believing. Somebody touched him with a convinced heart that if she did, she would be healed. And she was. If there's power in the garment, and what did they do with that garment of Jesus? They cast lots for it at Calvary, didn't they? Your first state lottery. The Roman officials cast lots. It's kind of what religions are doing today. They don't get involved with Jesus. They're just casting their lot in their denomination, casting lots for his vesture. But you know what? When he comes again, there's a right now, in fact, even now, since he ascended into heaven and presented himself as a sacrifice in the heavenly temple on our behalf, as Paul told us in Hebrews chapter 9, presented his own blood to end all animal sacrifices and all of that. He presented himself. And I'll tell you what, right now, the vesture that our Savior wears is a vesture dipped in blood. And if that woman could touch his vesture here on earth, then why then can we not reach out and touch his vesture now? The Bible says then, it was before he went to the cross, now he's already been to the cross, suffered and died and was buried and rose again. His vesture now is dipped in blood. Think of the power of the blood on that vesture that you can reach out and lay hold upon it. But you've got to have faith. If I do, something dynamic is going to happen to me. And I can touch his garment. It's a vesture dipped in blood, the blood of the sacrifice that cleansed all sin and washed it away. I can lay hold upon that in faith and receive the miracle from God. It's a vesture dipped in blood. You know, Isaiah saw it in 63. He said, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Folks, that same blood that saves us is condemnation to the world. That same dyed garment, a vesture dipped in blood, that is the very hope of our salvation, is the condemnation of all those that hate Him, that reject Him, that rise up against Him. God has put us in a wonderful place today. We're sitting in this building, hearing the Word of God. Hell is already a crowded place, and there is not one person in hell that wouldn't give anything to be sitting where you are right now. But we understand that time is short. It's all wrapping up. And I've got to draw this to a conclusion right now. But folks, you can touch the vesture dipped in blood. You can find healing and blessing and hope and strength to go on and to fight and to win. It won't be long. Watch what's happening. Look around you. Look at our country and the world. It's shaking, it's quaking, it's burning, it's trembling, it's flooded. Economies falling apart, governments crumbling. No soundness at all, no sturdiness, no foundation anymore. The Lord is turning all of us to Himself. Many will never hear, but you and I can. Shall we reach out to Him as we pray? Father in heaven, we're so thankful today because we know these things. And we know it's all true that if we'll reach out to Thee and just touch the hem of Thy blood-stained garment, that we will be made whole in every way. O Lord Jesus, let our faith be great. Let Thy people be blessed. Let them be healed, strengthened, O God. Move upon us with Thy Spirit. For we know victory is in Thy kingdom, but in the world there's nothing but trouble. And, O God, I pray that Thou wouldst save us from it. Lead us now by Thy Spirit, and abide with us, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it, and that Satan would have no power or dominion over us at all. And we thank Thee for it in Jesus' name. Amen.